Hi, welcome to this podcast. Thank you so much for taking the time to listen to our work. This podcast was produced by myself, Bergen Gruskin, and my classmate, Emily Ferguson. In this podcast, we will discuss the reality of school shootings in today's society, along with the ideas of arming teachers with guns. And we will sit down and talk with two students, Jill Cohen and Aiden Danko. Aiden and I were both second graders at Kelly Elementary School when our school experienced a school shooting back in 2010. Later on, we will talk to Mrs. Thompson, an English teacher at Carlsbad High School. And then lastly, towards the end of the podcast, we will listen to former Kelly Elementary School principal, Tressie Armstrong. We would like to give a special thank you to our guests for sharing their opinions and experiences with us. We know that can be hard to share sometimes. So with that, let's get right into the podcast.
I do not believe teachers should have guns. I was involved in the Kelly School shooting when it happened, and the teacher's class who I went into, I feel had no responsibility for having a gun. I feel like she would have no control with a gun, and I would not feel safe if learning in a classroom when a teacher had a gun.
I think teachers are humans, and to put that responsibility on teachers is not what they signed up for, and they're not police officers, they're not security guards. They're literally there to teach us and help us grow, and I don't think that it's their responsibility to carry guns. I think in this situation would be completely different than our day-to-day life. I would not feel comfortable in a room wouldn't trust any of my teachers with guns, because I wouldn't feel comfortable being that close to someone who carries a weapon, and I just feel like that would make an unsafe learning environment. But in the case of an active school shooting, it could. I don't know, because it's in the moment, like your adrenaline's pumping, and you have no idea what that teacher's gonna do.
Mm-hmm. I feel like also like the idea of like the guns are in like a safe, and like say like the shooting was across the school, like would they have enough time to like get the
I think
like that's kind of
personally, like I was also a victim of the Kelly School shooting, and like if there was a gun like kept in a safe in one of the classrooms where the Kelly School shooting was, that was on the playground, and that was so far away from all the classrooms. But by the time that the shooter was actually like in custody and tackled, by the time a teacher would have ran to him to potentially use their weapon, there would not have been enough time. And it's also, there's so much chaos in the moment that it really just depends.
Yeah, I agree. I think that if the goal is to have less violence, adding more guns is not going to solve any of those problems, and it's just going to make it, it's just going to create more problems. And you wouldn't, any other problem that you want less of, you wouldn't add more of anything to the situation. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I definitely understand that.
Do you feel like the like media like unintentionally glorifies school shootings?
Like it kind of like it gives mental health students like students with mental health issues, like it kind of gives them an idea like, oh, they just shot up a school, like I can use that as a like weapon also. Like, what do you think about that?
Yeah, I totally agree, but I don't even think it's all kids with mental health issues. I think it's just we live in a world where celebrities are like, we treat them like gods, and like you want your name up in lights, like that's kind of the world we live in. Mm-hmm. And so when we don't see the victims' names, we don't see the victims' faces, we don't see, there's been how many articles of like school shootings and like talking about the shooter, but how many about the person that, you know, tackled the shooter and like saved lives? Like those are the heroes, those are the people we should be promoting. Not promoting, but like putting their name out there and like remembering. But we see the shooter's name on the news, and that rubs me the wrong way, because if they're still out there and that we need to see them and we need to be able to identify them if we see them on the street, yes, that's one thing. But if they're in custody, if they were killed, like I don't want to see the shooter's face or to hear the shooter's name. I want to hear the victim's names.
Yeah. Aiden, so any student, like, a lot of students in this society, like, fear coming to school because even students on campus, like, they hear, like, a plastic bag pop and they think it could possibly be a gunshot. And, like, that's just, like, such a sad society that we live in. So, like, do you ever feel fear coming to school because there could potentially be a school shooting that you could, like, lose your life to?
Knowing that I've been in a school shooting before, I have every day since feared or wondered if there will ever be another school shooting while I'm at school. So, yeah, I do constantly have fear knowing that there's other school shootings that go on in the country, and there's a lot more happening every school year. So, yeah, there is a fear coming to school.
Yeah, I think that's the craziest part because, like Aiden and I said, we are both victims of the Kelly school shooting, and even, like, coming to school, I think, am I actually seriously going to be a victim of a second school shooting? Like, am I going to come to school this for a second time and experience that all over again? And that's just, like, a crazy thought.
No other country has had this big of a problem with gun violence in schools. I think it's almost a war against ourselves. It's not... it doesn't have anything to do with any other foreign country. It doesn't have anything to do with anyone else. It's us against us. And it's not even us against our country. It's us against our children.
I feel like it's, like, been so desensitized in, like, our society where, like, there were, like, even, like, at the lockdown yesterday, there were kids in my class who were, like, joking around, and they were like, it's a shooting, it's a school shooting, like just making, like, immature jokes. And it's like, it's a real thing. Like, there's kids who have, like, PTSD from it. There's kids who are, like, living, like, right in that moment, like, not sure what is going on. So
it's heartbreaking that it's just become a normal. Like, we see it on the news, and it's just, oh, it's another one. Like, that is heartbreaking.
And I think another thing that we had in our notes was, like, a lot of, like, I think our school's doing a decent job about it, but a lot of schools just, like, they don't really take action before it happens. They just wait until, like, after the school shootings. Like, for instance, like, the Kelly school shooter, like, obviously, back in, like, I think the school shooting was in, like, 2010 or 11, maybe 2009, but, like, they didn't start fixing the school's security until after the school shooting happened, so I think that's a big problem that schools have.
Yeah. I think that's a big deal. I was following, like, the Parkland shooting, and, like, a couple of the kids that, like, spoke up, I was, like, following them on Twitter, and they were having to go through metal like, I understand that they're trying to keep the school safe, but they were having these kids that, like, had just been part of such a tragedy, had watched their friends die, and they have to go through metal detectors and wear clear backpacks, and, like, they're treating these kids like prisoners, but the kids aren't the prisoners. This is, like, a war against them. They need to be protected and not, and I'm almost at, like, a loss for what that means. Like, I don't know, because guns, I don't think, are the answer. I don't think more guns are going to solve the problem of guns. I think we need less, because if someone came to school with a knife, like, that's still awful, but they can't hurt or kill nearly as many people as someone with a gun.
I feel like so many people are like, it's not guns that are the problem, it's the people. But then it's people are using guns to hurt people. Like, as much as it's also the person, it's also the gun.
Yeah,
like,
I totally agree, because I've heard that a lot, like, guns don't kill people, people kill people, but it's...
people are using the guns to kill people.
Yeah, the guns don't kill people on their own. That's not how it works.
I think another thing, going back to, like, the desensitization, I'll talk about, like, what Justin said. So basically, like, I've heard kids say, like, oh, the Kelly school shooting wasn't a big deal, nobody died. But, like,
there was a girl who was shot, this is the
reason why, like, our society is like this, is because you think it's not a big deal, but, like, you're just making more of a problem because, yeah, not only, like, the thing is, like, for the Kelly school shooting, that guy who came on and shot at the kids, his intention wasn't, okay, I'm gonna come onto this campus, this elementary school campus, and shoot two girls in the arm. Like, that was not his intention. He did not mean to hit them in the arm.
I think it's incredibly disrespectful to anybody that was involved in that shooting to say that it wasn't a big deal because nobody died. I think that is incredibly so just, I, that honestly, like, makes my stomach hurt, because that is such a traumatic experience for anyone that was involved. I wasn't even involved, and it's still, like, I wasn't even in, like, I went to Pacific Rim, and it's still, like, it happened in my community. Like, it's, so I can't even begin to wrap my head around the fact that, like, you guys were there. Like, that's, it's unbelievable. Like, it truly is unbelievable, and, like, that's what's wrong with our society, is the fact that we just brush it off. I don't know when that started being a thing, when attacks on our own community have just become nothing more than, I don't know.
Like a memory.
Yeah.
I don't know how, like, people can, like, who weren't there can say it was nothing since no one died. Like, if they were in the situation of, the like, the girls who were shot, I'm sure they would be, like, traumatized from what happened.
Yeah, and not only is it traumatizing, but, like, now we're sophomores, but this happened when we were in second grade. So, like, in second grade, you were 7 or turning 8 years old. And to be, like, personally, I was playing on the playground about, like, probably, like, 300 feet away from the shooter. And having to, like, look over and seeing somebody running at me with a gun, and then having to run across the entire playground into a random classroom, which wasn't even my teacher, like, I think, I don't know, it's so, like, desensitized.
You shouldn't have to worry about anything else except for, like, your multiplication. Like, you shouldn't have to worry about running.
This isn't a battle that it's our children. Like, it's not elementary school kids, it's not middle school kids, and it's not high school kids' battle to fight. This goes much deeper than that, and I just, it honestly disgusts me that it's gotten to this point.
Like, I feel like there's so many people that, like, talk about it, and they, like, say, like, in the, like, if there was a school shooting at our school, I would do this, like, I would, like, attack the shooter, like, and all this, but, like, I feel like in the moment, it's so much different than what you talk about, that, like, when you're talking.
And that's, like, the same for any situation. Like, if you're, like, arguing with somebody, and then, like, 10 minutes later, you're like, no, I would fight them, like, in the moment, you're not going to do that. And so the fact that people say, like, oh, if there was a school shooter, then, like, no, I'm a tough guy, like, I'd be able to take him on, like, that's so not the case in the moment. And, like, people who say that, like, I feel like a lot of the time they say it for attention, but that's another reason why it's, like, desensitized, is, like, I don't know. It's just, like, wrong that people say that.
I totally agree. It's not something that should be joked about or something that should be talked about lightly, because it's a serious problem, and I'm not really gonna stand for people being like, oh, this is what I would do, I would be brave enough to do that, because when the time comes, you have no idea, and it really belittles everybody that was involved in anything to be like, oh, this, well, you should have done that, I should, like, I would have done that. And it's just I just think it's wrong. It's just flat out wrong.
Thank you, Aiden and Jill, for your thoughts and everything you contributed,
and thank you for having me.
Thanks, it's been a pleasure.
Once again, that was Aiden Danko and Jill Cohen, and I would like to thank them one more time for sharing their opinions. It really means a lot to us. All right, next up is Mrs. Thompson, who gives us an insight to what it is like to not only be a teacher in this society, but also a parent. How do you feel about being armed as a teacher? Like, you're a teacher yourself, so
yes.
What are your opinions on possibly being armed to prevent school shootings or help them?
Well, I'm a teacher and I'm a parent, and I think my answer would still be the same even if I wasn't a parent, but I think it's strengthened by the fact that I have 2 children of my own who are about to enter school. As far as I know, even with all the violence that has happened in many different places, in airports and in public spaces, the solution has not been we need to add more guns to the employees that are working there. And if there's ever a time where we need to consider those topics, I think we need to come up with other solutions, and we know what the solutions are. We've watched other countries that have handled these situations in a way that has ended these concerns and ended these terrible events. Mm-hmm. I myself don't want my students, and I don't want my children, to attend a school that has a whole bunch of guns on campus. I think that is, I don't know if inviting more trouble is the right way to describe it, but it is not creating a safe space by having lethal weapons nearby. I think students should come to school and go to recess and be in their class and have books and have friends and play handball and tetherball and everything else, but I don't believe they need to be in spaces where there is a possibility of somebody handling a gun properly or improperly. Mm-hmm. If we're going to have guns, then the police should have guns. I know we do have police on campus. That should be fine. But no, as a teacher, there's no reason for me, whether I was in the military, whether I have proper training, whether I've taken a class, whether I know how to handle a gun, and I have shot a gun before, there is no reason for me to bring that into a place that should be treasured and hallowed and a place that is a sanctuary for our children.
Yeah. How do you personally feel about, like, if you were in a classroom teaching English, how would you feel if you just had a gun, like, hidden underneath your shirt? And that's just on you waiting for something to happen or like a situation.
I don't know.
Or even in a safe in your classroom.
I wouldn't be able to teach. I wouldn't be able to teach. I wouldn't be able to concentrate. I don't think it would be something that I could get used to. I think I need to make my focus the student and who they are as a person and their learning and their future. It is already a problem to me that this is a part of our society and something that we're even thinking about doing, but there's nothing good that comes from bringing weapons onto a campus.
Do you feel like in a moment, like if a teacher was armed, do you think they'd actually be able to follow through with what they were meant to do?
Well, as we saw in Florida, the resource officer couldn't even follow through with what they were meant to do, and they had the best training that anyone could ask for. There's a police officer. I don't think a teacher can be expected to be trained at a level that we need to in order to handle that type of situation.
Do you feel that like a lot of schools like don't really take action with like safety measures until like afterwards?
I do think that we are very aware, especially at our school, and we want to do what's best for students. We want to do what's best for staff, and we want to do what's best for the community. I think the best thing that can happen is when we have drills or when we have situations that happen, whether it has to do with an intruder or not, when we find there are issues with our protocols and with our practices, they need to be fixed. And those different experiences and those different drills need to be discussed and brainstormed and solved immediately.
That's all we have with Mrs. Thompson. Again, thank you so much for talking with us. Coming up next, we have former principal of Kelly Elementary School, Tressie Armstrong. Mrs. Armstrong was a part of the 2010 Kelly school shooting, and she sat down with us to share her experiences and opinions with us as well.
Do you think, like, if a teacher had a weapon on her, would it have been helpful for the Kelly school shooting?
No, not in our case. It absolutely would not have. And I have a lot of, you know, it clearly is opinion. There's a lot of different people who think differently. For me, 110% school teacher and principal should not carry a weapon. Mm-hmm. I actually feel that anybody who thinks a teacher should have a weapon on her doesn't understand what her job is during the day.
Yeah.
You know, because you're down with kids and you're hugging them and you're wiping tears, or in the upper grades you're getting close and working with them. And if you have a gun on you, it completely changes your day-to-day role of what you're doing. For the principal, you know, I was always out walking around and hugging kids, and there's just no way. That would be, it would change the job completely into something that wouldn't be about loving kids as much. It would be more about protecting kids, you know. And we do that too, but in a different way. I'm not sure if that comes across quite right, but you know what I mean? It's like we want to be close to them, and you can't get close to kids physically if you've got a gun on you. You shouldn't get close to kids if you've got a gun on you, right?
Yeah.
In the practical sense of the thing, in our case, nobody would have been near enough to the guy to have gotten to him, even if they had a weapon. And my other viewpoint of that is if we had a weapon available to a teacher or a principal, it should be locked up at all times. Mm-hmm. And to get to it in a timely fashion that would have been able to make it useful wouldn't have gotten to it. You know, you couldn't get to it. But I could tell you what I think is helpful, which is what happened for us. Remember, in our case, it was not a person who was armed who took him down. It was three unarmed people, construction workers, who were paying attention and responded. So in my perspective, every single adult, every single child needs to not live in fear, but live in awareness and pay attention. The big movement, see something, say something, that's huge. Yeah. If you see something that makes you uncomfortable, call, say something, and then having a method of communication to be able to do that. Mm-hmm. So walkie-talkies, you see it, you call the office, this doesn't look right to me.
Yeah.
You know, check it out. That's what I think is going to be the most effective preventative, is just being aware as what's going on in our surroundings.
Yeah, I agree.
Without being fearful. You can't live in fear.
I think, like, also, like, I think, like, I, like, especially, like, noticed that, like, a lot of, like, social media, like, kind of, like, I feel like unintentionally, like, glorifies it. Like, do you think that that has anything to do with, like, how many school shootings there's been, like, in, like, recent...
Clearly, the people who are doing these things have mental health issues, mm-hmm. or they would not be doing these. I'm sure with each incident that it occurs, there is a differing kind of reason or rationale or trigger that caused that for them to go and do something like that, whether it's wanting attention or vengeance or getting back at somebody. Mm-hmm. To me, in my opinion, I do think we need to be having stronger conversations about guns. Mm-hmm. That's not a political statement at all. I think we need to be addressing this issue. It's a uniquely American problem that we have going on right now, and that this is continuing to happen. And whether it's highly publicized and that causes more, or we have more access, I don't know. But I do think that we need to take the politics out of it and get everybody to the table and start talking about it, because it's a serious, serious issue.
Yeah.
You know, something has to change.
Yes.
And it seems to be distinct to our country. After it happened to you, did you have questions?
Because we were talking about that, how, like, different kids, like, reacted differently. Like, some kids that are, like, sophomores now still, like, are, like, extremely scared of it. Like, they hear a bag pop at school and they, like, flip out.
Mm-hmm.
And then others, like myself, like, it kind of was, like, sparked, like, a passion in me to, like, do something about it.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
And then I don't know, it's just different for everyone else. So
recovery, it would be about recovery, mm-hmm. and response to that. I found what was really actually pretty difficult being the principal was trying to meet everybody's needs, because we had the continuum of some who, I don't ever want to talk about this again, to others who really needed a lot of in-depth conversation, mm-hmm. you know. And I think the biggest mistake that people make in a traumatic experience is thinking it's over really fast.
Mm-hmm.
Incident is done, we're done. Recovery takes a lot longer for everybody, and that's on an individual basis. Some need more, some channel it in a different direction, some you know, really struggle with the post-traumatic stress. And what I believe the right thing to do is honor each person in his or her path to recovery. And I know we, after the shooting at Kelly, we had the Hope Crisis Response dogs come for 2 weeks, mm-hmm. at every recess and lunch. And there were six teams, and they ringed the playground where the guy jumped the fence. So the kids would go out to the dogs instead of being afraid of going to their playground. They were so interested. Smart. And they would go to the dogs and sit and pet them and talk about what happened.
Remember that?
Yeah.
Remember Oz? I didn't even think about, like, the
connection.
Like, the logic between that. That's such a good idea.
We put them out on that playground to say, go to the dogs, so that you're not forever terrified to go back to that playground.
That's smart.
Yeah. See, your principal was smart.
It's funny how in second grade I would have never thought of that. And now it's like, whoa.
Yeah.
Oh, we were talking about how, like, a lot of schools, like, they don't, like, take action towards the safety till after something happens.
Right, right. I agree.
Like, obviously, like, for Kelly school shooting, it wasn't a huge, like, that was, school shootings were, like, a big thing back then.
Yeah, we were the seventh elementary school ever, at that time, according to research I did, we were the seventh ever at that time. Gosh. So it was still really unusual.
Yeah. And now it's, like, I feel like even though there had been previous, no one, like, really thought it would become such a huge...
A prevalent, like, concern.
Yeah, like, issue.
Yeah.
And I think, like, now there's, like, all the ones that have happened where, like, the schools are starting to, like, do, like, more safety stuff now. Like, yeah, where they, like, metal detector the kids, like, all that kind of stuff.
Right,
versus, like, doing it, like, before and avoiding the issue altogether.
Right. Helping to prevent. Yeah. Well, in school safety, we've always trained with prepare, prevent, respond, recover. So do you remember we did the drills at recess?
Before.
Yeah, when I came from middle school, when I first started as a principal at Kelly, I would remember doing safety drills and thinking, oh, you know, you always do them at a convenient time. We could do it now because they'll probably just be doing this. It's a good time. And I thought to myself, it really bothered me because I would be saying, you know, if something ever happens, it's going to be during recess. Yeah. And do the kids know how to respond? Mm-hmm. And so we did drills.
I think we did a really good job about that when it happened.
Yeah.
Like, everybody just instantly.
We almost didn't have to call lockdown. You guys moved as soon as you knew something was going on. And you gathered each other and you were moving. I remember going out when I heard what was happening. We called lockdown and kids were all in within 4 minutes, and that was kudos on you guys.
Yeah,
you did. We were so proud of the kids.
I wasn't there, but one of my friends was, like, really, like, right where it happened. She was, like, there, and so she was, like, telling me about it, and she was, like, I guess, like, you don't realize how, like, well kids, like, respond to things until it happens.
Yeah.
Like, because she was telling me how she, like, ran zigzags. Like, I feel like you wouldn't think that a second grader would know that until, like, she has to do it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They were really good.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were really good. You know, and we were, you know, that makes me teary still because we were so proud of the kids, you know, and they went in and got in lockdown and were relatively calm and you know, scared, of course. We were all scared, but everybody did what they needed to do. It's just really proud of them.
That brings us to the end of our podcast. Thank you so much to our guests who participated and to anyone who listened to what we had to say. Personally, I had a lot of fun creating this podcast, and we hope you enjoyed. Once again, this podcast was produced by myself, Bergen Gruskin, and my classmate Emily Ferguson.